This is KUT
Austin.
Stop.
This is KUT. I'm Jennifer Staten.
Our white brothers and sisters are going to have to learn how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable while talking about race.
That's Chaz Moore, founder and executive director of the Austin Justice Coalition, speaking at a recent KUT forum that looked at Austin's racial climate. Moore and others believe that climate will never improve if white people don't have the necessary, difficult conversations to examine and confront racism. So how do those conversations get started? As part of KUT's ongoing coverage of race and racism in Austin, I talked recently with someone trying to spark those conversations. Carolyn Heltzel is a Presbyterian minister who teaches preaching at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary. She spent over 10 years facilitating white congregations' discussions about racism. Heltzel says she was drawn to this work when she got to seminary and realized the Christian life she had been raised to lead did not honestly address racism.
That felt like a cognitive dissonance, to have been raised to try to live a certain way and to be prepared for ministry, and yet to not have this deeply painful reality spoken about in my predominantly white communities. So that led me on a journey of studying about this and talking about it with other people. And this book is kind of finally my way of saying, this is how I think it might be helpful for us to talk about it.
So the book is titled Anxious to Talk About It, Helping White Christians Talk Faithfully About Racism. Why do you think those predominantly white communities, thinking about congregations and other groups, why are they anxious to talk about race?
The title is a little bit of a play on words, but it does highlight the anxiety that a lot of white people have around talking about racism. And that stems from a number of different sources. One is we're afraid to say the wrong thing. Words continue to change, how we refer to things changes over time, our historical context change, and all that impacts how we talk about racism. And so one of the main reasons is we don't know what to say, but also we don't like feeling bad about ourselves. A lot of the time that we're talking about racism, we're learning about how whites have been the perpetrators of racism, and that makes us feel bad about ourselves, and that makes us anxious.
Early in the book, you have a sentence, we should not feel shamed for getting it wrong. But it seems like that white people getting it wrong is part of the problem. Like, shouldn't we feel something negative or at least revelatory when we do mess up and we do say something wrong?
Yes, yes. I definitely think it's important for us to have those feelings, but to not get stuck there. So often we say something wrong, we feel shame, and then we don't want to talk about it again because we don't want to repeat that experience. But looking at kind of a long-term trajectory, how do we stay engaged? And one of the way that we do that is by saying, my shame is not the end of this conversation. It's not the goal to make me feel ashamed. It's moving towards a place of gratitude and mutuality and learning from other people.
Can you walk us through then what that expression of gratitude looks like when white communities, white congregations are trying to think about race and racism?
One way we can do that is to see these hard conversations as a gift. As counterintuitive as that may sound, how can we view these difficult emotions, these hard conversations as a gift? Ultimately, they may lead us to deeper relationships with people in our communities, deeper awareness of what people are going through. And so even if it may feel awkward and painful, it's really a gift that we're accepting and having these kinds of conversations.
When a white person says or feels something like, well, I'm not racist because I'm not in the Ku Klux Klan, I don't go to Nazi marches, so I'm not racist. Isn't that a particular thread of thinking here that holds people back from moving forward?
A few years ago, we had a black president, and a lot of people who were white felt comfortable saying, well, they're not racist. Look, we elected a black president. But fast forward and you see the kind of racist words that we're hearing from our administration and the empowerment that gave to white supremacist groups. And so we see the power of words, the ways that these groups continue to gain more and more power. And how do we stop that? How do we keep that from happening in our own communities, that means all of us have to grapple with these hard realities.
How do you define racism?
Racism is a system that creates unfair advantages for whites while disproportionately penalizing persons of color. This isn't a new concept. It's something that was forged in the beginnings of the transatlantic slave trade, justifying why we should be able to have people as property. And this racism, this warped imagination, is what continues to keep some people in disadvantaged positions compared to whites. So my definition of racism has a particular context in that is something that I view as a system. It's not something that's just individual hate acts of one person saying a bad word or an offensive phrase, but it's this larger system that has infected us, that's part of the air we breathe, that's something that we need to be able to uncover so that we can work towards eradicating it.
What constitutes success to you in this arena?
I hope that through these conversations, white people can increase their capacity to hear and sit with the pain that other people are experiencing. Because when we increase our capacity, it means we're much more likely to be able to engage with that and help work together to make the society different. If we don't have a capacity to hear that suffering, it means that we're limited in our ability to respond.
I read the book and came away with the impression that these first conversations and this first work, at least, needs to be white people doing this work separate from people of color.
One of the things that I've heard from people of color over the years is that they are tired of having to be the ones to teach white people about racism. And so these conversations aren't meant to be intentionally segregational, keeping people of color out. I welcome anyone to these conversations, but really putting the onus on white people to do our own work and to learn what we can and not expect people of color to speak on behalf of all people of their race or community. The emphasis on white people talking to white people is really about helping us reclaim the responsibility that we owe to this work.
Someone might say every year that we're further removed from segregation laws on the books, we must be getting better. And the more generations we have that are born and grow up without that having been part of their lived experiences, surely we will all get better at this. But then there's so much evidence out there to the contrary that actually feels like sometimes we're stepping backwards.
Right. My 7-year-old daughter told me last night, "Mom, some people are really against immigrants, but weren't the first people who came to this country immigrants?" My son, who was in fourth grade last year, had people yelling, "Build a wall," even though he had Mexican-American friends that were also in the classroom who had relatives very much impacted by immigration laws. So it's important for us to not just have this Pollyanna view about our children growing up in this diverse society and assuming they're going to fix our problems when they're coming into the same world that we're perpetuating, and we need to be able to make a difference for them.
Carolyn Heltzel teaches preaching at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary and is a Presbyterian minister. And Carolyn, we thank you so much for your time and your thoughts today.
Thank you.
Carolyn Heltzel's book is Anxious to Talk About It, Helping White Christians Talk Faithfully About Racism. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.